Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined once again by Anthony Bongiorno.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't know.
We have just seen Scream 6. We left the movie theater about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, this is much like Scream 5.
Which
also known as Scream.
I guess now we're calling it Scream 5.
This is Reaction. If you're fans of the Scream franchise, me and Anthony did a whole episode on 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then when 5 came out, we reacted to it. We saw it and then we recorded right after. And then we're doing the same thing today for Scream 6.
Yep.
By the way, if you're just a Scream fan and not a fan of pop culture man children, you heard in the last episode that I had a toothache. Here from the future, I could tell you that it worked out. I got a root canal, but then the root canal didn't work. And then I had to get another root canal, and then it chipped, but it's all right. Everything's fine here in the future.
I'm so happy to be here in the future with you.
So, Scream 6. There's going to be... So, this is a reaction more than it's anything else, because I don't know really all of my feelings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have a lot of thoughts, and they haven't coalesced into a take. You know,
you got to sleep on it.
Yeah, especially when it's like a series that you like and care about.
Yeah,
it's. I feel this way about Star Wars movies. There's a lot of Star Wars in this series now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
The main character Sam is basically Rey, right? She's a Palpatine, but it's like, do I choose to not be a Palpatine?
By the way, I think we've seen every Scream movie together since the first one.
Yeah. I don't think 3.
Oh, that's right. We didn't see 3.
Yeah.
But most usually on opening night.
Yes. Yes. So yes. Spoiler alerts for everything for this Scream and every Scream that came before it.
Yeah, we're gonna go deep here. So if you haven't seen Scream 6,
yes.
Pause this. Go to your local cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. Or watch it.
Yes.
I'm not telling you how to feel about it. And then come back.
So this film...
Welcome back.
Thanks. So this film, just like the last one, it's the exact same crew. It's directed by Matt Bettinelli Ulpin and Tyler Gillette, known together as Radio Silence.
But they're not credited as such, I noticed.
It says a film by Radio Silence.
Oh, okay.
But everything else is them.
Okay.
And then it's written by the same people, James Vanderbilt and Guy Busick.
Okay.
So it's the same exact team as the last one. How do we feel?
Initial reactions. Okay, I'm going to go gut.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I liked it more than 5, mm-hmm. I think. Like, I'm thinking back to when we did this like exactly a year ago.
Yes.
And I felt a lot more ambivalent a year ago than I mm-hmm. do right now. Like, right now I can confidently say, like, that was good. I enjoyed that more right. than I think I enjoyed watching 5. That doesn't mean that I loved it and I didn't have problems with it, but I liked it a lot.
Yes. I actually watched 4 and 5 because those are the ones I've seen the least in preparation. And watching 5 last night, I actually think I liked it more the second time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I think actually the meat and potatoes of the film, the plotting, the story, the characters, all the actual beats of the film are interesting and entertaining to watch. I think the killers and the reveal of the killers is the weakest thing. The killers are interesting before you find out who they are. Mm-hmm. And then when you find out who they are, it's kind of like, okay. And then you find out their motive and it's like, oh.
Should we just share?
Sure, yeah.
So the killers are, there's 3 killers. First time in Scream franchise history.
Yes.
There are 3 killers.
Which I think a lot of people predicted.
See, I didn't. I was actually shooketh by that.
Okay.
It is a father and his 2 kids.
Yes.
The one daughter was the roommate. The son is their classmate.
Yeah.
The father is the detective on the case. Yeah. And then it's revealed that they are all the family of the killer from the last movie.
Right.
Did you make the connection that this is like the same thing as Scream 2?
Yes.
Like Scream 1, it was exactly the boyfriend. Like Scream 5, it was the boyfriend. Yeah, like, and now it's the family of the boyfriend.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah.
It's exactly like... We're the family.
I was honestly shook by the son. Because I thought for sure that kid was not. Because the joke through the whole thing was, okay, Ghostface. Like, they were like, you're Ghostface. Right, you're definitely right. Ghostface. And then when it actually was him, I was like, oh, get the fuck out of here, really?
Yeah.
And then that was that cool, there was a cool misdirect where then the third was one was unmasked, and they were like, well, there's only one person left. And they were like, oh my God, Mindy. And then she takes off her mask, and you're expecting it to be Mindy, and it's this character, Quinn, who died like an hour ago.
But see, why would she ever for a second think that it's Mindy?
Because Mindy was the only one physically there.
But Mindy wasn't there. Mindy was in a hospital somewhere because she'd been stabbed. Oh, you're right. I don't know why her...
I guess because she's the only one alive still.
I guess. Oh, yeah, I guess. So one of the...
Because Mindy got separated from them on the train, so it'd be very suspect that all of a sudden she shows up.
Right. Okay, so one of the weaker things about...
Oh, and because he was with her. Sorry. I'm just piecing it together. Because Ethan and Mindy were on the train together.
Oh, right.
So Ethan arrived, and they were like, oh my God, that's Mindy, his teammate. Yeah.
All right, now I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the weaker things about part two and three, and to some extent four, is unlike part one, the killers are just sort of ancillary characters. Like, part two is probably the worst with this. It's Laurie Metcalf, who's like basically not in the movie. She's just a side character.
Yeah.
And then Mickey, who is also, he's one of the friend group, but we know nothing about him. This movie says, how about all the side characters of the killer? Does that add up to something? And I say, I don't know.
Oh, that's really interesting. I guess it is all, it's all, everyone but the core four.
Right. Right. And it's like, okay.
Well, except for the cute guy that she's banging, he's not.
Right.
Kirby, I really, for a second, I nudged you at one point. I was like, Kirby's the killer.
I never thought Kirby was the killer.
I did. I really did. I thought both of the cops were going to be the killers.
No.
And I thought that she was going to, remember, because she had that monologue when she was like talking to Mindy about like, what kind of scary movies do you like?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be like a subtle hint that she was the killer. Because she was like, what kind of scary movies do you like?
Yeah.
And then when she was like, I didn't want to be afraid of monsters anymore. So I thought at the end, when she revealed herself, she was going to be like, I became a monster.
See, that scene excited me because for the first time in the film, a popular theory was said where they're looking at the TV that killed Stu, and Mindy goes, if you believe he's dead.
I
was like, fuck, are they going to do this?
Imagine.
I was like, they're going to take off the mask and it's going to be Stu and it's going to be the only ending that you could possibly have. But they didn't. So one of the things that this movie does is it actually brings it within dialogue. It posits and brings up a lot of the things that fans have always said. Like, when the killer is talking to Gail. Well, first of all, I didn't even realize that Gail never spoke to the killer on the phone. So when the killer calls Gail and he's like, funny, we've never spoken before. Which is also interesting because Ghostface is speaking as if they're always one person. Are Ghostface.
It would make sense that they do, though, because they're so obsessed with all of the Ghostfaces.
Right. But, see, there's a problem with that, which is they're supposed to not care about movies, yet they're still doing it this way.
Who's not supposed to care about movies?
The three killers in this, right? In the beginning, it says, who gives a fuck about movies?
Oh, that's right.
So, I should say, if you haven't seen the movie, none of this is going to make sense to you.
Yeah, none at all.
You have to have seen the movie, and now you're with us. Okay, so... Fuck, what was I just saying?
He calls Gail.
Right, and he says, you know, interesting, you were never the killer. You know, that would be such a good twist. Which is funny, because I feel like all the way back in Scream 2... fans have been like, what if Gail's the killer?
Yeah.
So it's so interesting. It's almost like everything that fans have ever said, they put into the mouths of the characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Both as, you know, fan service, but also as, I don't know, as a way of like... See, the thing that this does that the last one did, 5 did really well, was it understands the game of Scream. Like, 5 was very good at, like, oh, are you the killer? Maybe I'm the killer. Who's the killer? I don't trust this guy. He's the killer. Oh, I don't want to go along with you. You're probably the killer. So, this movie does that even harder.
Yeah.
And,
because for the early Screams, it's like, oh, there's this psycho, this lunatic. We got to catch him.
Right.
And, like, they don't even mention that, like, it's probably one of us.
Right. But now it's like.
Now that's the go-to thing.
Right. Like, it's got to be someone in the group.
Right.
Which is what Dewey says in the beginning of 5. He goes, the killer's always somebody in the friend group of the first victim.
And he says, and he's like, it's your boyfriend.
It's the boyfriend. He got it in one.
I do. I did have a second of like, does it really? It's so interesting because we've gone from it being like the Prescott saga.
Yeah.
Of like her brother tried to kill her. Her cousin tried to kill her.
Yeah.
Her, that whole thing. To now it's like dueling murder families.
It's like a telenovela.
Yeah. Because now it's like the Kreisch, whatever their name is, Richie's family. They're all, every member of that family is a murderer. Mm-hmm. And like the Loomises, like, it's in their blood too, because it's like
the Hatfield, the Hatfield,
yeah, because then it's the grandmother, the father, right, and the daughter, and there is that thing that they keep exploring of like Sam and Joy's killing,
right? Which they do more in this.
Yeah, she like really goes for it,
right?
It is becoming like Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm so conflicted by a lot of this.
I liked though when she was like, fuck, like, and then she just like tapped into rage and ran at him screaming. Right. Cause it's like you could tell that she's like playing that as like, I'm tapping into my crazy Billy side.
Well, it's funny. I made a joke in the last episode about how the vision of Billy Loomis is like Obi-Wan Kenobi now. He was the killer, mm-hmm, in the first movie, and he's even more so in this.
He also looks 85 years old. I know. They need to do a better job with that. It's
hard when you make a middle-aged man try to look like a teenager.
He looks 90 if he's a day.
I like that they try to make him look like he looks exactly like he looked when he died. But
it's bordering on the supernatural now, because now he's like telling her things that she couldn't possibly know. You know, like, it's like, well, maybe not.
He's inspiring her, which is crazy.
Right. It's like he's almost like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, check your coat pocket or something crazy like that. Right. You know, like,
go to Dagobah.
Yeah. He's like, I placed a knife in your coat pocket.
Yeah. Well, she takes his knife and he goes, good choice.
Yeah. It's so weird. How would, just speaking brass tacks here, how would all of those items that the killer has stored up not have been like, long gone?
I don't know.
Like the TV and the knife with the blood still on it.
It's just when they go to the killer's lair, it's just fan service central. It's like, oh, look, there's the cross from that the boyfriend in Scream 2 was on. Oh, look, there's Tatum's outfit.
Yeah.
Look, there's the TV that killed Stu. It's all of that shit.
Well, I guess they try to.
And you also have everybody have their moment with the, like, Kirby sees the knife that, like, she touches Jill's outfit.
Yeah.
And the knife that killed her.
She gets re-stabbed in the same spot with the same knife.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I guess I'm realizing now that they tried to semi-explain it away by saying, like, cops like money and it's easy to pay off cops to get crime scene stuff.
And he is
because
a cop.
He's a cop.
Right.
So I guess, like, he basically explains this, like, my son was really into these movies and I fostered his love of them or something.
All right. I know this is probably a stupid thread to pull in this series.
But you could just kill people without wearing the mask.
But I'm saying, like, could you have four people in a family all psychos? Like, Richie's a killer, and then his dad and his sister
and his brother.
Other brother. Like, all the media family are all totally fine with killing. And they're all twisted enough to see her killing him in defense or whatever. She killed him as, like, we want revenge against you.
I guess we should have been suspect. Did you suspect Quinn at all?
A little bit.
I guess we should have been more suspicious that she died off camera, essentially.
No, actually, I wasn't suspicious of her. I was a little bit suspicious of the cop. But, you know, with the Scream movies, you get so good at the game of it. You kind of have to go, okay, who could it be? But also, why are they doing it?
Right.
Who are they really? Right, there's got to be some.
That's the thing. Now this is, I guess, Scream 2 did it also. Well, I guess most of them do. In 2, 3, 5, and 6, the killers are all people who are not actually going by their real names and, like, not their real identities. They're only who they are in 1 and 3. No, in 1 and 4. That's it.
And 2, if you count Mickey.
If you count Mickey, but right. she's using a fake name.
And she supposedly had, like, plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Which is why really Nev weird. Campbell doesn't notice her.
I think the Quinn thing was a nod to the original draft of Scream 2. The killer was her boyfriend and her roommate.
Right.
It was Haley and, or Hallie and the boyfriend.
Yeah. See, this is an exercise in what happens when you go all the way up your own ass.
Yeah.
and out your own mouth.
Yeah, I read a really critical review of this. This has gotten good reviews overall, yes. But I read one very critical review that basically was like, these movies celebrate themselves more than people actually celebrate them.
I think that's a great point.
And that they basically, it was like, it might have even been Entertainment Weekly. It was something like pretty mainstream. And it was like, they think that they're more clever than they are.
They definitely have always thought they were more clever than they are.
Yeah.
But I do think they resonate. I mean, when we went and there was a lot of people there, older people, younger people. When Kirby came on screen, people applauded.
Yeah.
She's from part four and is like a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Because part four was like, what if the Randy is a hot girl?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, I like that idea. So I think they've always thought they were more clever than they are, which they're not.
I also did. I thought it was clever how, like, clearly in the original, like, if you watch Scream 4, like, Kirby dies. But now right. Kirby's alive. So I liked how she was like, well, technically I did die.
For four minutes.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's kind of clever.
But it also makes you think about Stu, because it's like, okay, because they've been saying since forever, like, could Stu be alive? How could just the TV falling on him kill him?
Right. Well, also, we were saying this in the theater, too. People in the Scream universe get stabbed in the gut and the chest and just walk away like it's nothing.
This movie, I think, is the most
egregious. Yeah. The fact that Mindy gets stabbed in the abdomen and it gets pulled all the way up to her chest and then she's running out of the hospital. Like, you would be in the ICU for weeks.
You would be in like, such tremendous pain.
Yeah, like, people just be getting up and walking around after getting stabbed in the stomach like it's nothing.
Same thing with Gail. I love Gail. I didn't want Gail to die, but part of me felt like, okay, this is Gail dying. Like you know, like Han, Luke, and Leia all die in the sequel trilogy. Like, Dewie died. No, this is her dying. And she gets stabbed pretty bad, and you think she's going to die right there, but then they see later on, she pulled out.
It's a throwaway line, too. They're like, Gail's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I call Mount Sinai. And then, I mean, I really like Chad.
Yeah.
But, like, he got stabbed, like, a bajillion times in the chest.
I know. How is he?
And then, like, 3 hours later, is still alive. And they're like, we got a live one here. And it's like, that man is dead.
He got killed so hard.
Yeah, like, he is dead.
Like, they double-team killed him a lot.
I really liked all the stabbings in the orifices of bodies in this one.
Yes.
Lots of people get stabbed in the...
It's a very brutal, violent movie.
It's really gory. Lots of people getting stabbed in the eye. And I thought it was really cool that when Jenna Ortega stabbed him in the mouth.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like, that's how I read it. And then she twisted it.
She was like, oh, you a killer too?
So I wanted her I almost wanted her to have a line like, stop talking.
Yeah.
Like something like that.
This movie acknowledged something that they didn't acknowledge in 5, which is they always say like, oh, your father was a serial killer, but also your grandmother is also a serial killer, yeah, Laurie Metcalf. But they say that in this one.
Well, he said this is your grandmother's mask, but they don't say it enough, frankly. She doesn't say enough. By the way, also my grandmother was a killer.
Yeah, I come from a line of killers.
So I guess it's revealed at the end that the mask that the killer is wearing throughout the whole thing is the original Billy mask.
I figured that. Because they're counting down. Like, the first mask you see is Richie's. Because the killer keeps leaving a mask at the scene. Right.
But that's why it looks so old.
Right. The first mask you find is Richie's, and then the next mask is Jill's. I do like that this movie, it doesn't throw out any canon. It says, you are a Scream fan. You know everything about Scream. We're not going to pull any fast ones on you. Like, when they had the board, and the board had a picture of every single killer, and she's like, this one. And Roman, the movie director, he was the only one to do it. One guy. Very ambitious. Like, I really liked that. Like, what's the last time anyone mentioned Mickey in this series?
I know.
But we are at a point, right, where it's like, it's surreal, the world that this movie takes place in, because it's like, this is a crazy world. It's like what people used to say about the Die Hard sequels. Like, how could this very specific thing keep happening to this one individual?
Yeah.
And we now live in this world where people are ghost facing each other left and right. I mean, we haven't talked about the opening.
That's what I was going to say. I think that I liked the opening much. I thought it was cool that you saw somebody get killed by Ghostface. He immediately takes off the mask. Then you follow that character.
Yeah.
And then that character gets killed by a Ghostface.
Right. And he kills her.
And the line is, right, he says, who gives a fuck about movies before he kills him.
He kills her, and The last slash is usually when it says the title card. Yeah. But then it doesn't. He's just standing there breathing heavily.
And then he just takes his mask
off. And yeah, and then you see him put it in his bag. You see him walk by Jenna Ortega. And he's like, yeah, I'll see you later. Like, because he's going to kill him. And you see that he has an accomplice.
Yeah.
They killed their film teacher.
It was super cool. I almost was like, is this going to be... Like, this movie is going to be the one where it's not a whodunit. Like, it's just we're going to watch them figure out it's this guy.
It's going to be a Columbo. It's going to be a Hal Ketchum.
Right, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because another killer kills those two killers.
Yeah.
So there's five killers, really.
Yeah.
Even if the killer didn't kill, those two would have been the killers.
Yeah. Well, I also like the way that Kirby was like, oh my God, this is from the Ghost Faces of 2011. Like, it's like classes. Yeah. It's like the Ghost Faces of 96, and so I guess those two in the canon are considered Ghost Faces because they killed someone together as Ghost Face.
Yes, I guess so.
So I guess this movie does have five Ghost Faces.
They're like the eighth Doctor Who was only there for one movie.
Yeah, they only killed one
you're
person.
You're technically on the list.
I wish, and maybe I'm wishing for something to be too on the nose, but similar to like with the Jenna Ortega stabbing the kid in the mouth, and I thought that they were playing a lot with like toxic masculinity film fan culture too, like the fact that like these two fucking douches killed their female film professor.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something to that, but these Scream movies always have something that goes unexplored.
Right, of course. And it's interesting because the formula for every Scream movie up until 5 was there's always two motives. Right, there's the initial motive, which is some commentary on the media of the time that the film was made. You know, horror movies and violence in the media, or the OJ trial, or a social media.
This one had a random like throwaway line to cancel culture.
Right. It's completely unexplored.
Yeah.
But 5 is the first one. The last one, 5 is the first one where Richie and what's her name, the girl. Mickey, is that maybe that's her real name. They just want to make a stab movie. They don't have any connection to Nev Campbell. They don't have any connection to it's so they just have a media reason.
Yeah.
And this one they don't really have a media reason. They just have the revenge.
So it does beg the question, why do the ghost face
thing? Right, why do the ghost face thing, right?
If you don't, I guess because it is that line, interesting. Who gives a fuck about movies?
Right. Like that's a pretty crazy line. I mean, that's the thing. This movie has clever shit, but it doesn't totally back up its clever shit.
Yeah. Well, all the Scream movies are kind of like that. There was some interesting shit that was different. Like, I thought it was so interesting when on the phone, in the beginning, he was like, she was a person. She wasn't an animal.
Right.
And then when he kills him, he's like, do you feel like an animal now? And then I always think that the Scream movie is going to do clever things and then they don't.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, is this going to be like now he's going to kill everybody but these two and he's protecting them?
Yeah, because he seemed to have like this moral high ground.
Yeah. And she even says at one point, like, what are you protecting us now?
Yeah.
But that would have been too different. The Scream sequels always kowtow back to the same formula.
Right. Yes, I guess that's the... I think I posed the same question on the last episode, which is maybe there's only so far you can go. Like, maybe this idea, we've squozen it.
Yeah.
We've gotten as much blood out of the stone as we can. And this movie's gotten really good reviews and is projecting to make more money than any Scream opening since, like, 2 or whatever. So there's going to be another. What do you do now? And by the way, I've said that from 2 on.
Right.
What do you do now?
I know.
After 4, and they had that beginning where it was meta, meta, meta.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you do a new beginning? And then the last one, they just kind of just did it straight.
But then they twisted it, and that the first kill ended up becoming the final girl.
Right. And then in this, they did the thing where, although I did like that the killer doesn't do the ghost face the whole time. The killer does like a real person's voice and then turns into the ghost face.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. The beginning part was pretty good.
Yeah. I also like it's always making sort of phone ringing, but it's like a concierge or a hostess picking up a phone at a busy restaurant.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is such a different setting than you've ever seen.
What do you make of the setting, the move to New York City? Ultimately, I don't know how much it added.
I feel like if the entire campaign wasn't built around it, I would have noticed it, obviously, but I don't think I feel like too much of the ad campaign was about that it's in New York.
Ghostface Takes Manhattan.
Right. And
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Right. It ends up being, I mean, really what it ends up being is more like two, because they even say like,
it's a college
now
campus.
They're in college.
Yeah. They go to a fake Columbia kind of.
I do like it. I mean, there was the scene that they turned into a trailer where he's in a bodega with a gun. That's probably the most radical he is.
Yeah.
I did think it was scary. I thought that this Ghostface was very brutal, and I thought it was interesting that he seemed not afraid. Like, usually Ghostface is, you know, sulking in the shadows.
Yeah.
This Ghostface is like murdering multiple people inside public places.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I do. I did like the setting. I liked the apartment. I liked their apartment.
Yeah.
I also have to say, in terms of just enjoying the plotting, I feel like this core four, and they call themselves the core four, are very interesting, and they're good actors.
They're fleshed out. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fleshed out.
Way more than the teens in Scream 4 were.
Right, right. You've got the two sisters and then the twins.
Yeah.
So they're all siblings. They're like two little Randys,
mm-hmm.
but like he's very handsome and charming. She's very funny. She's genuinely funny. Not Jamie Kennedy funny.
Yeah.
Like when she does the rules scene, the obligatory rules scene, but she's doing it in a very funny way where she's like mad at herself for not guessing who the killers were last time.
Yeah. Although she did guess this time.
Yeah.
She got it right.
That's true. That's true.
I did. And he made me laugh too when at one point they're fighting and the mannequin's head gets cut off and he goes, beheading. Because earlier in the movie, Mindy was like, it's a franchise now, so people could be beheaded.
Yeah.
And he was like, beheaded?
Yeah.
It was funny.
And it's funny, he also, when the boy came who ended up being one of the killers, he like was like, where were you?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's funny that, and this, I guess the same thing happened in 5, but it's what has to happen, right? You have to be at a point now where, since the audience is playing this game, you have to play the same game in the movie that the audience is playing. They know that the audience is thinking any one of these people could be the killer, so you have to play that game too. So you have to be constantly accusing each other of being the killer.
Yeah.
Which is clever, but also a little exhausting, to be honest. There's something exhausting about this whole concept. Like, Jen has only seen Scream 1 because she doesn't like scary movies, and we saw it in a drive-in, and I was like, you got to see Scream 1. If I showed her this, she'd be so lost.
Yeah.
She'd be like, what the fuck is any of this? Like, if you go from Scream 1 to 6, it's like, what is happening? What world do we live in? Especially because there's no stab in Scream 1, right?
Right.
Scream 1 is just this one person doing it. And then in this movie, it's a world where Stab is the biggest franchise in the world.
Yeah.
On Halloween, everyone dresses like Ghostface. People are ghost-facing left and right. It's surreal.
Yeah.
The world that it creates.
Yeah. I hated a lot about Gale.
Yes, because I feel like a lot of the development they gave her in the last movie, they undid.
Yeah, I found myself saying, like, how many times is Gale going to relearn the same lesson in between? How many times is she going to fuck up in between movies off screen?
Yeah.
And then everybody's mad at her again, and then she has to earn trust back.
Yes.
And prove that she's a good person.
Yeah.
And like, how many times is she going to relearn the same lesson? Like, at the end of the fifth one, didn't she even say, like, fuck it, I'm not writing a book about this fucker?
Right, she said, I'm not writing a book about this. Let them die in anonymity.
And then she fucking writes a book
then
about it.
Then she does it.
And that just doesn't feel, like, genuine.
And right, then when and she it was so smart and clever in the last one, because she has that conversation in 5 with Sydney where she goes, this is all my fault. I should have never written that book about your mother.
Yeah.
All of this is my fault.
Yeah.
So how does she go from that to, but they do, I guess they describe, they kind of justify it by them dragging her and being like, maybe Jenna Ortega says, without Ghostface, you're nothing. Like,
right, you need to stay relevant.
You need Ghostface in your life to have meaning, which is interesting, but also sad for a character that I like.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very bold of them to cast Jane Fonda as Gale Weathers.
Oh, come on. Come on.
No, she was good, though. Also, I did have a moment of like, we are to believe that this Ghostface no longer cares about Sidney Prescott.
Well, you know what? I'm actually for that, because
I thought
let her have a happy ending.
Yes, and I agree with that. But realistically,
right? Why would they?
Why wouldn't they go after her? Well, I guess they don't care about her.
This is really, well, that's another thing that these killers do, which is it really grounds it even more in
the new characters.
Stories.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess, and Gale even says that, she's like, "Why even bother with me? Like, I'm nothing to you."
Right, and he says nostalgia.
For nostalgia, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because why kill her?
Right. Right.
Why not? That's the thing. And I guess this is the same for all Scream movies. When you have a killer revealed who has a motive that's like, I'm mad at you, I want to kill you, why are you killing everybody else?
Well, I feel like, well, there's a lot of framing that goes on. There's, I feel like there's a lot, at least what? This one? No, the last three. 6, 5, and 4 all have the killer trying to frame someone else for the killing. Remember they tried,
right.
In 4, they try to make it like...
So they were trying to make her look like the killer in this, right?
Yes, that's totally what they were trying to do.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so I guess that makes sense. But also, like, if you're mad at her, just kill her.
But again, it's up its own butt so much. Oh, but then
he says, well, you have to assassinate someone's character first.
Right, which is where you're like, is this about cancel culture?
Yeah, weird. I don't know. I guess that makes sense-ish of why they did that.
Yeah.
Because they wanted her to die, like, with the world remembering her as a murderer.
Right, okay.
That makes sense.
Right.
We're still moving it from our short-term memory into our long-term memory right now. you seem more disappointed with this one than with 5, which is interesting because I think this one's better than 5.
This one is better than 5, but 5 is also more of a movie, and this is more of, I don't know what. Like, this doesn't stand on its own at all, in a way.
This one is interesting because, like, the more we talk about it, the more I'm feeling like it is, like, the sequel. Like, so remember, like, when Scream 5 came out and it was called Scream 2022? Yeah. And it was, like, a requel, and it was kind of like we're rebooting it. In a way, they've followed that because this is really just, like, a direct sequel to the last one.
But then why it's called Scream 6? Like
but... They are called, it's so weird. The titling is so weird now because the title card just straight says Scream 6.
Yeah, it's Scream and the last 1, 2, 3, 4, Scream 6.
Yeah, it's.
And there's a joke in the last one about it, too.
Yeah. But this really is.
Stab 8. Why not just call it Stab 8? Just call it Stab?
Right. This really is more like a Scream 2022 2.
Right. But see, that's the thing. If that's the case, then why is the killer so obsessed with going back to Billy and homaging every single killer? Because there's something about the way that the Ghostface goes about it in this movie that made me feel like this could be Stu, because it seems like it's really trying to, like, wrap everything up. And then to have the killer be like, oh, we're just the killers, be like, oh, we're just the...
The family of the last guy.
Of the last guy who had nothing to do really with all of these other people.
Why won't they just pull the trigger and have Stu come back at this point?
I don't know. I've said this before, but the original idea for 3, and then he tried to do it for 4, was that Stu is in jail for life. And that he has a cult of people that worship him, like Charles Manson.
Yeah.
And that cult are the killers. And Kevin Williamson, when he couldn't do that, he took that idea and he turned it into the TV show The Following.
Yeah.
Which is that idea.
Yeah. Well, I guess at this point, we've been with these characters for 6 movies. Somebody would have mentioned that Stu is still alive.
But this movie, the first time in this movie, she goes, if you think he's dead.
But then they would have
to... Which is interesting because it's like, he's alive out there somewhere? Yeah,
there would have to be an elaborate story as to how he...
Right. And because if he were in jail... How has nobody ever mentioned that?
Exactly.
He would have to be like, I don't know, living in the woods or something.
Yeah.
But I feel like this, if any movie were to do it, this is the one that could have done it.
Yeah, because there is so much like grand reverence for the series. He could have been like,
fuck Billy. Everyone loves Billy. I was there too. I'm a fucking OG.
That's what I've been saying. It's like, I feel like that's the perfect motive is for him to be like, the world's going to remember Stu. I'm not just the other guy.
Right. Right. In the beginning of Scream 5, when he's testing her on Stab, she goes, who's the killer in the Virgil Sam? She says, Billy Loomis. And he goes, wrong. It's Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker.
Yeah, that's why, if you remember, last year I said, like, I thought that was a hint that it was going to be him in the last one.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, it's right there in the beginning.
So as much as this movie has fan service, there are...
Hated the fan service of Punching Gale. Hated it. It was stupid.
Right. Well, there are 2 things that this movie doesn't do. Nobody says, I'll be right back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is, I feel like every single one has made...
You sure you didn't just miss it?
Did you notice it?
No. But I wasn't looking for it.
The 5 makes a very... 5 does it the best where she's like,
Yeah.
And they both laugh.
And then one of them is the killer.
Yeah, one of them is the killer. And I guess because the Ghostface motive is so odd in this one, there's no quizzing. He says, what's your favorite movie, just because that's the famous line, but he doesn't quiz anybody in any way, because he says, who gives a fuck about movies?
Yeah.
Which is, it feels weird. That feels weird.
But then, yeah, it does. What's interesting is there's that whole other Ghostface conversation about slasher movies at the beginning, but that's not the Ghostface. That's another Ghostface.
Right, that's right. And it is interesting that it's a film professor.
Yeah.
That was, and it's Samara Weaving, the one from Ready or Not. She was great little role.
Yeah, she was really good. I will say, I think I said this last time too. I've been saying it for years. I don't like that the first kill, like, it's my overall complaint with Screams is as they go on, they just get less and less scary and they get more like action-y and thrillery. Yes. And it's like, if you go back, like, nothing will compare to the Drew Barrymore kill, because it's like the first 30 minutes.
And it really felt like they were in the middle of nowhere.
Right. And also he plays with her for a long time before he kills her. Right. I feel like it's like a cat and mouse thing. In every one since,
yeah,
it feels like that first kill has just gotten shorter and shorter and shorter.
Right.
And it's like, why can't we do a return to form, sort of?
Right.
I guess they sort of did it here, because it goes on a little bit longer than you expect. But
well,
I think this is after probably...
one, probably the best is five. Because remember in five, when he's talking to Jenna Ortega, he does what he does in part one, where he doesn't immediately go, I'm spooky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He like just talks to her like a person and then moves into it. He pretends like he's her mom's friend.
Yeah. I think the weakest, I don't know, what would you say the weakest is? You think four? I like four. I think fours is cool.
Fours is good. Probably the weakest is two, although at the time I thought it was so clever because it's happening over a simulation of the first one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's probably the weakest. Three's interesting.
Three's interesting because it's Cotton. Weak.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's Cotton. And everybody, by the way, is like, oh man, they're going to New York. It's like, but three was in Hollywood. Like, why don't, like, even Jenna Ortega, as much as I love her, we all love her, she's America's sweetheart, she's got a perfectly symmetrical face. She said on Jimmy Fallon, like last night, like, oh, this is the first one that's not in Woodsboro.
It's like, no.
And I was like, no.
No,
like,
honey.
Two is in, I forget, I don't know where
Windsor
two is.
College, yeah. Which is probably, it's supposed three to be
is
like,
in Hollywood.
Yeah. I think two is supposed to be in like Connecticut or some shit.
Yeah. And three's in Hollywood. Like there are sets. Yeah. Like they really make a big
deal.
They
don't go
three
back to
Woodsboro Hollywood.
Until four.
Yeah.
And then again in five. Four and five feel like twin movies in some ways.
Yeah. Because they're trying to do the same things.
Yeah.
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 But see, I find myself feeling like, what would satisfy me? You know what I mean?
I would you have been satisfied if at the end it was like, it's Gail, I'm the killer? Would you have liked that?
I think I would be genuinely shocked.
That's why I was like, I think it's going to be Kirby and it'll be cool.
Yeah.
And then there was the red herring of like, Kirby's been unstable. She was fired from the FBI. Like, get out of there. And I was like,
I don't know,
shit.
I never believed it. You know why? Because they've done that before in screen movies. And the killer always has to reveal themselves. It never happens that way. No one ever goes, that person's a killer. And true. It's always a twist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did you think about the, what's his name? Dermot Mulroney?
Dermot Mulroney.
What do you think about him?
He was all right.
I felt his performance was a little weak. And
I
don't mean to be hard
on. There was some questionable acting.
Here's the problem.
Hayden Panettiere. Is that how you say her last name?
Panettiere.
She could have brushed up on some acting as well.
How dare you?
I mean, I love her. I love her, but
yeah,
she wasn't selling it.
Okay.
And also I thought that
she felt a little rusty. Sure.
She was rusty. And Danny was a horrible actor.
Which was
the guy from across the hall. Or
oh,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, man. Hey, well, yo, man.
If you're not the killer, the boyfriend's always a thankless role in these movies. No. Like Chris O'Connell in part two.
Yeah.
You
didn't think Hayden? You, I'm not crazy, right? Hayden seemed a little. When she was like.
Well, she like took off. She didn't act for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes sense that she's rusty. And I love her. But when she was like Kirby Reed, FBI, I was like, oh, fuck.
Well, part of me was like, this feels like the FBI.
Yeah.
Part of me was like, I don't buy this.
Yeah, it felt like a procedural. I was like, what's going on here?
That's why I liked when Gail was like, what, you're a child?
Yeah.
Because 10 years ago, she was a child.
Yeah.
I also liked that Sam recognized her because they would have gone to the same high school.
Yeah.
We're all over the place. Getting back to what you were saying before about it being scary, Scream has always been a jump scare series. It's never been a, it never really creeps you to the soul.
No, it doesn't creep.
It's a jump scare. It's always, it's a jump scare.
But
which I'm not saying is bad, but that's what they are. They're jump scares.
I think that the earlier ones had more tension.
Sure, for sure.
Prolonged tension.
Sure.
Or maybe I'm just too immune to them. Like, I know he's coming. Like, when he pops out, thing. I don't even jump anymore. I'm just like, yeah, of course he's there.
There's a lot of times in this movie where he's just there, and it's like, fuck. Like, they're in front of an apartment building, and he just jumps out. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so I wanted to say about, what's his name?
Dermot
Mulroney. Okay. I don't think he does a great job, but here's at the end. Because he's a little too much like the Joker. He's a little too I'm the killer.
Like Laurie Metcalf and two.
Right. The best is Skeet Ulrich and Emma Roberts. This is the truth. So
Emma Roberts is really good.
She's my second favorite killer of the whole series. She also has the best, not best motive, but she has one of the most interesting motives.
It's the closest the series ever gotten to making Sydney the killer.
Right, because she's the figurative protagonist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here's the reason, and I'm not trying to go hard on Dermot. The problem with these movies is the way that they're made. Because you sign on and you do it. And then like the last week of filming, they're like, guess what, guy? You're the killer. And you're like, fuck.
You don't know.
No, you don't know. You don't know until
you film. Play it one way.
Right. I guess the way you have to play it is everyone has to play it like they are the killer, which creates weird performances.
Yeah. Huh, I didn't know that. I thought I knew they did that for like two. I didn't think they were still doing it that way.
No, it's still like that. It's still like that. So you don't know. So, you know, like it's just like, imagine like you're like, all right, I'm playing a cop. And then tomorrow, like you're the killer. And it's like, motherfucker, I'm not ready for this. I got to call my acting coach. Like it's like a big deal that they throw on you.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened with two. That's why the killers changed into because the original script got leaked.
Yes.
While it was being made.
Yes, yes. Right. Yeah. And then from two on, they've been very secretive about it.
And I remember like, this is so like way like old school, but I remember even like when they were making two, there was like a featurette of the making of Scream 2. Right. And they were saying that like it was printed on like red paper. So they couldn't be
photocopied.
Xeroxed.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, we're so far from that. But,
yeah, I know.
But still, I guess after that happened.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I get it. And I believe from three on, they shoot multiple endings. That's so there's crazy. So the crew can't say what it can't leak in that way.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like the whole thing would pull together if the killers were better. Or even if it were them, but they had a better motive. I was like, because when they were all a family, I was like, I said to myself, like, be related to somebody cool. Be related to like fucking somebody from part three or something. Like, be related to somebody in the past. Be fucking Henry Winkler's family. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
What, I was like, don't, because I knew where they were going. I was like, don't be Richie's family.
Well, it had to be because they kept saying she's a murderer.
I guess, yeah.
Because she killed him.
I mean, the one interesting thing about doing that is, you know, people have joked for a long time about, like, you know, by the time you get to like four, Sydney has killed multiple people. She's just, she's killed like six people.
Yeah.
Shoot them right in the head.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like almost like dealing with that by having the Sam thing happen. But it's also like, how do they resolve that? They don't really just resolve it. There's just more of it in this. There's the scene with her and her therapist, but
yeah, and it's like she just, I guess, is like she's like an Anakin or like a, what's his name? A Kylo. Like, she's got the dark side in her and she likes to kill. She enjoys, it's almost like she revels in when she gets to kill the killers.
Right.
Because she stabs like a motherfucker. Like, she goes crazy on them.
She lets the killer out.
Yeah.
Which is, again, this gets so Star Warsy because it's like, is being a serial killer in your blood?
Yeah.
That she's like pulled to it?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so weird. Especially because it's not like she was raised by Billy.
No, yeah, it's just in her. He speaks to her.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I didn't think that he was going to show up again, but there he was.
Yeah, there he was,
looking old as hell. Like, it's the hair. It's the like trying to make him look like. Well,
it's also the caked makeup on his face.
Can't they do old better CGI? Jesus,
you can't make. There's nothing that looks older than when you're trying to make an old person look young.
Yeah,
like Betty Davis and What I Have in the Baby Jane. Like, she's so grotesque in that movie because she's she's an older woman who's like dressed like a baby doll. That's what you feel. It seems like they do have it. I mean, they use it in Marvel movies, but it looks like they just try to do it with makeup.
Why are they trying to do it on the cheap? Like, they paid for the fucking New York,
it felt like filming
locations. It was definitely in New York.
I don't know if it was filmed in New York, but it feels like
it felt like New York. Like, they did a good job of making it feel like New York, and there were certainly some. It seemed like there were, well, maybe those were just establishing shots, but it felt like New York.
No, I think they did a good job. I don't know. I doubt it was filmed in New York, or maybe some of it was. But it definitely felt like it. Like, it didn't feel Chicago. It didn't feel like Toronto.
No.
It did actually feel like New York. And I liked the New Yorkness of it. I liked, you know, like a New York that's about, like, alleyways and bodegas and apartment buildings.
It felt like old school New York, kind of.
Yeah, almost like 70s New York.
Like Jason Takes Manhattan. That's what it felt like.
Or I more like Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
It really felt like... Yeah.
And I was also, part of it was kind of like, you all can't afford to live in this fucking city.
Well, there's four of them and they have a roommate. Yeah. So that's five people living in there.
Well, they all live in that apartment? I thought it was just the three.
I think they all do.
Yikes. Okay. That makes sense. I thought that the twins lived on campus or something.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I was shook as hell when after the opening, the killer walks onto campus and then he's like, hey, Tara. And then Jenna Ortega. I was like, whoa, like that's crazy. Yeah,
I did think like.
And he was going to kill her.
Yeah, yeah.
That was their plan.
Yeah. I did think for a minute, like, what if this is, like you said, what if this isn't the one? What if this is the one where we just follow the killer?
Yeah.
How fucking crazy different would that be?
Yeah.
And we're like a Columbo.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
All right. If Neve Campbell were to have agreed, how do you think she would have factored in?
I don't think she would have factored in well. Like, right, I don't see how she could fit.
Because at least it was established in Scream 5 that Gail lives in New York.
Right. It feels like, not having her in it, I think was good. I think leave her out of it at this point.
I did like when Gail was like, tell Sydney that he didn't get me.
Yes.
Which would have been a pretty ironic, tragic kind of last line.
Right.
But then she doesn't die.
Right. But she says it like it's her last
word. Like it's her last word. Especially tell Sydney.
Yeah.
Like.
It's very Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Tell your sister.
Yeah.
You were right.
All the Dewey stuff was sad.
Yeah.
I kept thinking like it must be so weird because that's like in real life her ex-husband.
Supposedly like the scene where they in 5 where they meet up and they like arguing with each other. Like they were like they started like crying and shit. And then the director was like, okay, well. Let's try that again.
I wonder if
you got
still,
shit out of your system.
I wonder if they're still like friendly in real life.
Well, I loved in 5 when she says to the killer, "You killed my best friend."
Yeah,
because it means like there's something very deep between them, but maybe not that.
Yeah.
So the thing is that it is so formulaic, right? You have the opening kill, and then you've got at the end you have the reveal. You've got a couple of good kills in the middle. A couple of not so scary kills towards the late middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you make the new, when you write a new one, you find yourself going, how do I take these specific things and rejuvenate them? Which is how you get a really interesting opening to this movie.
Right.
That almost the rest of the movie has nothing to do with.
Right.
Like they mention it, of course, but no one ever stops and goes, isn't it crazy that like, two teams of people tried to do this at the same time and one killed the other?
Well, that's it almost like there could have been an alternate movie there.
Right, right.
Because their plan was to kill Tara and Sam.
Right, I guess just because they were movie people? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Or they said they needed to finish Richie's movie.
Right. So yeah. They were toxic fans, I guess, going with that whole thing?
Yeah, it seems like it. What do you think was the best kill?
They were all pretty brutal.
This one felt very brutal.
Yeah, there's a lot of like stab, 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 stab. Yeah.
I thought actually one of the most brutal kills was the, I don't remember the character's name, the girl who gets thrown off the ladder.
Yeah.
Her head hits a dumpster and then like you see her head split open. It's like, wow, that was really brutal.
And she was such an innocent angel.
Yeah, she was.
I like when Mindy was doing the thing and her girl, she's Mindy's girlfriend, and she says something and she's like, oh, you're beautiful, but you could still be the killer.
Yeah. Well, she has that really great moment talking about like what you were talking about before, where she says like, we're a full blown franchise now. So now it's about subverting expectations.
Right.
But which I guess is what they have to do now.
Do you buy that though?
I think that they try to subvert expectations a bit.
But do you buy that, like, why now? Like, they weren't a franchise by three or four?
Because every movie needs a new, now we're this. Now we're that, because right, it was.
But I feel like after two.
It stopped working.
It stopped.
And being, also sometimes.
It stopped making sense.
Yeah, the rules are kind of, like, stupid. But, like, they all have it, because it's, like, the rules of a scary movie, the rules of a sequel, the rules of a trilogy, the rules of a reboot.
Right.
The rules of a requel.
Right.
And now it's the rules of a franchise.
Right.
What's seven going to be?
Right, right. Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's like we are really like scraping the bottle of
and sometimes the rules are like when Randy talked about the rules of part one, he's talking about like inside the world of a movie.
Yeah.
But like after that, it became a thing of kind of it's inside the world of a movie, but it's also our guide to surviving because this is a movie.
Right. But that only works when the killers are making it like a movie.
Which is, I guess this is the only one where they're not.
But I guess they... Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like the killings would have made more sense if it was the first two guys who were like, we got to finish Richie's movie.
Right, right, right.
I do like the idea of, though, like, you keep cutting the dragon's head off and a new head grows in its place. Of
it's
like,
so dark, though. It's darker than anything in any other movie series yeah. ever. It's just yeah. the world is awful.
And there's always going to be somebody who worships the last killer who wants to pick up the
right.
mantle.
It's real, like, when you think about it like that, it's like, fuck.
It's funny that
the worldview is so dark.
This will be the first one where Sydney's like, oh, God, thank God I missed that one. I was out of town.
But it's almost like, you almost like, how can you bat an eye at this point?
I know. She's going to be like, oh, this happened again.
Oh, well, I guess it's going to happen at this for the point, rest like, of time.
Gail has been attacked and hospitalized with stab wounds, what, 90 times?
I know.
I mean, how many organs does she have left that are functioning?
I know.
Once again, I know we said this before, but when you get stabbed in the stomach,
yeah.
do you understand the damage that wreaks on your body?
If you stabbed me even a little bit yeah. in like the arm, I'd be like, ow, 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 ow. yeah. And then wouldn't want to go outside for a month.
Like literally, it's so insane.
And then they put like medical mesh in there and it smells weird and yeah. you got to change it once a day. And it's like,
And it's like, are all of these characters like wearing catheters because their GI tracts must be totally fucked up. Like that is your gut,
right?
Like that's bad.
You're gonna have like weird like you gotta watch your cholesterol because you could have weird liver problems yeah, and like pink like
a knife will absolutely wreak havoc on your body. Yeah. And they just play it off like it's nothing.
Yeah, just like stab is no big deal.
Tis but a scratch, like Monty yeah. Python.
Yeah,
I mean legitimately. In this movie, Gail, Chad, Tara, like a bunch of them got stabbed multiple times in the chest and stomach and walked away.
Well, I think...
And like without medical attention. Like yeah. there are other EMTs there tending to other people. It's like this girl was stabbed in the stomach.
Right. She was just stabbed in the stomach a second ago and now she's quipping.
Yeah, like God.
Well, I think we're...
Somebody get a doctor.
You know, even though they say in this like, oh, anybody, it could be anybody now. It's not so because we're back at like where we were in 2 and 3 where Dewey, Gail, and Nev can never be killed.
I was thinking that. Like now the core four are favorites because now they've survived through two movies together. Right. So now it's like nobody wants to see any of them die.
Right. Like I thought when I thought Gail was going to die. Didn't yeah. happen. When Mindy's attacked on the train, I thought, okay, Mindy's going to die. One of the twins is going to die. Then when she was alive, I was like, okay. But then when he gets stabbed a billion times by two people.
I was like,
he's dead yeah. for sure. And then, no, they're not. If you're a good guy, you live. Nobody so dies. Crazy.
And it's like, I think it's all supposed to be a clever callback to, I think the twins always surviving is supposed to be a callback to Randy being the surprise survivor at the end of one.
Maybe.
Of like, Randy's still alive, you know? But I don't know. One of those twins should have died, honestly. It should have. I mean, he he is stabbed by two people
yeah.
in the chesticles fucking 20 times and back. Like that, he is dead.
Yeah.
I mean,
people bleed out.
It's insane.
Like nobody bleeds out in these
also,
movies.
None of them are like, it's so, I mean, I guess expecting realism is ridiculous, but like, There's also such things like surviving an attack and then dying a few days later. Like, it's all like, oh, they're gonna be fine. It's like, maybe they're not gonna be fine.
Oh, how's Gail doing? Oh, she got a bad staph infection. She's dead.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, she went septic.
Oh yeah, she was okay for a while, but then her criticals out real bad in the middle of the night. I mean, we tried, but she's gone.
For God's sakes. Oh, and Kirby got stabbed in the stomach in the same place as last time.
Yeah. She was stabbed so hard last time it stabbed her into the FBI.
Yeah. But Sam really goes, she stabs Dermot Roroni in his eye.
I know, and then someone stabbed in the... So by the way, I didn't like that either, because she does like the Ray Palpatine thing, which she's like, I'm not a killer. So you're like, okay, and then she kills him.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess that's a funny moment, but...
But you fucked with my family. There was a lot of Fast and Furious.
Oh yeah, with
dialogue
family.
Here.
Yeah, family.
With family.
Yeah, and even like sweet fucking Jenna Ortega, who's not related to Billy Loomis, right? How she fucking murders somebody in the mouth?
Yeah,
and like twists it. Like what the fuck?
Yeah, that was cool though.
I tell you what, though,
there's
only two. I feel like there's only two guttings. There's a gutting in one, Drew Barrymore, and then someone gets gut in four.
The girl across the street, right?
Yeah, which is still one, I think, a great death.
That's a great death because it's like relentless.
Yeah.
Which they're kind of all kind of like that now, but it's not as powerful as it was then. Right. Because I think after, like, don't forget, like, context-wise, historically, like, 2 and 3 were kind of around the Columbine era. Where,
yeah,
like,
2 and 3 are very weak.
They shied away from gore, yeah. And then 4 was, like, a return to form with a lot of gore.
Right.
Like, in 2, the kills are really weak. I remember 3 when I was a kid, well, yeah. I loved it, because I was like, in Big Mouth, when he's like, of course it's going to be great, it's a movie. Like, I was never going to not like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember, like, adults... Like our relatives being like, oh, it wasn't as good as one. It wasn't as gory.
Like,
and being like, what are you talking about?
I can't think that.
Like Sarah Michelle Gellar gets killed by being thrown off a roof. Like, that's not really the scream of the first one. And this one, he's got a gun and blows people away. And then the last.
Just in that one. Yeah, the last
scare
thing.
Is of him with a gun, which I guess is supposed to be like, I don't know, is that like a New York thing?
I guess, but he only has it in that one little scene, and he takes it from the bodega owner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know what? All these movies end with gunplay.
Yeah.
Going back to one, it's always guns at the end. Knives are more cinematic. Guns are more get the job done.
Did you notice in the beginning when he was on the phone, in the first kill when he was on the phone with the woman, the film professor,
yeah.
He said like, there's an alley that I can cut through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was quick, but I was like, oh, that's clever.
Yeah, it's clever.
They do a lot of that, like, final cut and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy that there's a totally abandoned alleyway right across the street from a very, very, very populated New York City restaurant.
Oh, yeah, these things happen, I guess. I had predicted that Gail was going to be the first. Because that's the thing, like, when it starts, right, it rings, and then it goes, then whoever you see, like, that's going to be the one. So I was like, oh, what if it just opens on Gail? You'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Didn't, though.
It didn't.
I don't know. Gail. I don't want Gail to die. I don't know. More than Gail dying, I feel like one of the four should have died. One of the new four should have died.
I think it should have been him. It should have been Chad.
But they're not going to kill either of the sisters, I don't think.
As much as I'm sweet on him, it should have been him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they won't kill one of their sisters.
I actually liked the romance between Tara and Chad.
Was that set up at all in 5?
No, he has a different girlfriend in 5.
Yeah.
And she's really in the hospital the whole time. Like, we know she's in their friend group.
Right.
But you see none of that.
Yeah.
So what's the worst one? What's the worst Scream movie of all the Scream movies?
3. It will always be 3, I think.
It will always be 3?
Yeah, 3's... I've watched 3 recently. It's just not very good. It's just not even fun to watch, I think.
Yeah.
It's just too stupid.
3's stupid.
3's very campy.
But you know...
It gets very Scooby-Doo-ish.
2 is very weak sauce.
Really? Because 2...
2's very just like more 1.
Yeah, I guess.
And like the college setting.
I haven't
Not
seen
to say 2's bad, but there's something about 2 that's... Especially now with everywhere it's gone. Something about 2 is... I don't know.
Feels quaint.
Yeah, yeah. It feels weird. It's, yeah.
I haven't seen 2 in a long time. Like, yeah. I haven't sat down and watched 2. Maybe I wouldn't like it as much if I watched it
again. Well, it's funny. I watched 1 like 900 times and 2 900 times. Yeah, me too. I saw three like 400 times, and then four I've seen like three times, and then five I've seen twice.
Five I've seen once. I saw five in the movie theaters a year ago, and that's it. I haven't seen
it. I'm glad I watched it last night because it reminded me of things like Tara has asthma, yeah, which we all know means.
Why is this movie in 3D?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We saw it in 2D.
Right. It is weird that it's in 3D because there's not very 3D-ish stuff.
No.
Although I kind of want to see what the experience
maybe,
is like.
Yeah, maybe there is 3D-ish stuff that we weren't thinking about. Because I wasn't even thinking of that.
Maybe like when the way the therapist is killed, he kind of like comes through the door and pulls him.
That feels really gimmicky.
That therapist is like the principal in part one. There's always the one kill that's like, ah, all right.
We edited it in after the fact because we needed more kills in the middle. Who gives
a shit about this therapist?
Yeah. For a second, I was like, is the therapist going to be the killer?
Right. And by the way, he shouldn't turn her in. She didn't say, I'm going to kill somebody.
No.
You're only supposed to turn someone in if they say, I'm going to kill somebody or I'm going to kill myself. You could go to therapy and say, I killed somebody yesterday. And you'd still be breaking confidentiality if you told on them.
Yeah. Well, movies and TV shows never get therapy, right?
No, they never do. Ever.
No. They have this like...
It's more boring and clinical.
They're very stuck on this old like model of like analysis that I don't think anybody does anymore.
Right.
Like right now we're watching The Sopranos and it's the first time I'm watching it. And like I love Lauren Bracco. I think she's a great actress, but like Melfi is just like not a therapist. Like she's always asking about what do you think that represented? What do you think? Like it's like that's not, at least for me, I've never had a therapist like that. Cognitive behavioral therapy where it's like I one time talked to my therapist about a dream and he was like, yeah, we have dreams all the time. It doesn't mean anything.
It's important.
And like the whole first season of The Sopranos is like, well, what do you think your dream meant and whatever?
Yeah, they don't get it right.
They never get it right.
Or it's too maudlin and like they like each other. It's like that doesn't happen.
Yeah. So this is no exception. But it was interesting that she was like, you know, when I killed, it felt... right. And he was like, you gotta go.
because much like the Force, the killing, you're born to be a killer or not.
Yeah. Now, I wonder
there if... really are a lot. I'm sorry, go on.
No, I'm sorry. I was gonna say, if you think if they make a seven, they'll... well, when they make a seven, you think it'll be no Gale and they'll just officially be the new characters? I think it's time. I think they can do that.
Yeah. That's why I said, like, I don't... I think they wanted Neve Campbell in it, but I can't see how she would be in it.
I can't see how she'd fit in at all.
Without just feeling extra, like not important.
Why is she even involved in five?
Because Dewey dies. Like she doesn't, if Dewey hadn't died, she wouldn't have come to Woodsboro.
So she only shows up in the middle of five?
Yeah. Three and five, she's kind of half in. Oh, she's in four a lot.
Yeah.
And three and five, she's like kind of only in the endings.
Oh, I forgot about that. I know in three, she's really only in the ending.
Yeah.
Because she kind of like didn't want to be, around when three came out, she was trying to branch out to do other things, I think.
Yeah. No, she doesn't. No, she don't care.
Oh,
no, she's fine, dude. Whatever. No, whatever. I mean, look, I've been in no good movies. How about that? So who gives a shit?
I appreciate that Courtney Cox just leans right into it.
I love it. I got to say, even though I don't like what they did with her character, her reveal in this movie was fun. Like, all the news reporters were asking questions, and she just kind of comes right in. She's like, Gale Weathers. And people in the theater were, like, excited. Like, oh, shit, here she is.
Yeah.
You got to love... Gale is Gale. Like, she's got the fucking primary color suits.
I guess it's just, like...
She's a bitch.
Her character is just, like, she will never learn kind of thing. Yeah. And it's, like, she's always been, like, my job as a journalist comes before absolutely everything and anything.
Yeah.
And I'm going to... do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I guess I hate in a way that she wrote the book after saying that she wasn't going to let them die in anonymity.
Yeah.
But I guess it would make sense for her character if she, I don't know.
She mentioned her parents for the first time ever.
Yeah.
She said, like, I had shitty parents too.
Yeah. It's so funny that she's grown as a character to, like, in the first one, she's on like a...
she's almost a villain.
She is almost like a villain. She's a huge... See, the thing with the earlier ones is there are characters that are like suspicious through the whole thing.
Right.
And she's like, through the whole first movie you watch it and you're like, is Gale the killer? Through the whole thing almost.
Right.
But she's almost kind of like a villain and she redeems herself at the very end of the first one.
Right.
And she is really like a journalist on like a trashy catalog, like a magazine show.
Yeah.
And then now, I guess it's established in five that she has like a daytime talk show.
But she said she wrote another book. So.
She's super famous now, like in the world of the movies, right? In the world of screen.
It's funny, in the beginning... she calls Sam and she sends her a voicemail.
Yeah.
It says Gail Weathers.
Yeah.
Good for Courtney Cox, though.
Yeah. I mean,
she's still having fun.
I love Courtney Cox. I don't want her to be in the next one, though.
I don't want her either,
unless she's the first kill.
Me neither. Yes. But I did find myself when watching this one feeling like, boy, this is not the scream of my youth. Like none of the faces are the same anymore. Like,
you know, Courtney Cox is the least the same
come
of
on.
All.
For the love of peace. For the love of... Come on. Send all your hate mail to Anthony.
Well, she was brilliant in 80 for Brady.
Oh, come on now. That's Rita Moreno.
No, I think her... She has the same... She goes to the same doctor as Jane Fonda.
Oh, my God.
So what were you were thinking, like, this is just so... It is. I was thinking that, too. It's so far removed from where it started.
Like, there's no Cotton Weary. There's no Randy. There's no Dewey anymore.
What about also, this all started because of Sydney's mother. Now, Sydney's not even, like, barely even mentioned as a character.
Yeah, now Billy is more...
Yeah.
It's more in the lineage of Billy
than Sydney. Yeah. This all started because Billy's mother... No, because Sydney's mother fucked Billy's father.
Right. Women... Are yeah. terrible harlots.
Yeah.
And they are the bringers of death.
Well, that's the lesson. Well, as I was saying before, I feel like there's like a feminist subtext of even with her stabbing him in the eye. Like stabbing the male gaze.
Yeah.
You know, like they could have done more with that. But again, maybe I'm asking for it to be too on the nose when it's stronger, if it's more subtle, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know what we can do. I've said this the last couple of times. I don't know what we could do for 7. I mean, what can you do? Especially because with every killer, from like, I'd say 3, starting with 4, 5, and 6, it was not just another killer. It was, oh, I'm the ultimate killer.
Right,
I'm a killer not like the other ones.
Right.
You're going to see. So it's like, how do you keep topping that?
Well, and even in the, I was thinking this when I was watching the trailer the other day, like in every trailer, they're like, this time feels different.
Yeah.
This is different. And it's like, actually, it's exactly the same.
Yeah. In 5, Dewey says this time feels different. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. It's exactly the same.
And this, like, it felt different with the whole mask
thing. Setting.
But then when it turns out to be his family, it's like, it doesn't feel very different at all. It's just family revenge.
He came all the way to New York for
another revenge plot.
Thing. Yeah.
They were all in on it. They got to be the roommates and did the whole fucking thing.
Well, yeah, they don't live in the same apartment because he's his roommate.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Who do you think was like, let's move it to New York. It'll be great.
I mean, I don't know. We said last time, like, it needs to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
And in some ways it did. The New York thing definitely did.
It's an interesting blending of ideas because you're right. It is, like, some of it is, like, New York-y, and it's like, oh, okay, they were trying to do something different here.
Yeah.
And they certainly built the marketing around it. But really, it's they're on this college, like, this Columbia-like campus.
Right.
So it is really, it's sort of a bait and switch because really it's more like a college campus movie.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, a little.
A lot of it is on the campus.
That's true, yeah.
It's like this NYU slash Columbia.
Right, because it's
like they're always around Washington Square Park.
Right, like it's the city, but also the city is the campus.
Yeah.
You know, you watch it and you go like, oh man, who's the killer going to be? It's going to blow my mind. And then it doesn't. And
it never
does. And you're like, oh, I played myself.
Yeah.
I always played myself. Like it's never going to blow my mind like it did with 1 and 2.
Well,
or 4. Actually, 4 was probably the last one that blew my mind.
That she was the killer?
Yeah.
Yeah, although the other killer in 4 sucks.
Right, he does suck. But also, that's another new part of the formula, although this one didn't do it, which is 4 and 5 have that they were secret lovers, too.
Well, that was going to be 2. The original ending for 2 was that her boyfriend and her roommate were secret.
There was no Billy's lovers. Mom at all in the original idea?
No.
See, that seems...
No, like... that was all, from what I understand...
I thought she was just in on it, the roommate.
No, then there was 3.
Yeah,
I don't know, but it was definitely the boyfriend. It wasn't Mickey. It was the boyfriend and the roommate.
No scene has ever been more tense than the scene in 2 where they're in the cop car and she has to climb over him.
Yeah,
I feel like they tried to do a little bit of that with the window in this one.
Yeah,
it doesn't do tension as well as it used to.
No.
Well, I'm sure I'll think of things tomorrow that
we'll come back to it.
We'll talk about it a little bit.
Sleep on it.
When we do next year's Scream 7.
Oh, what's the title going to be? It's going to be something ridiculous.
Do you know Scream 5 they were going to call it Scream Forever?
That's horrible.
Well, it's kind of like, then it would have been like the Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends thing.
Yeah.
It is weird that they just call this six.
Yeah, it's just, and like the, yeah, it's just plain Scream Six. Like the marketing campaign, the marketing materials are, it says Scream, but the part of the M is shaded to look like a six.
Yeah.
It's just Scream Six in the movie.
Yeah.
Do you remember, was this legit? Do you remember like a few, God, I feel like it was almost a year ago at this point, like a while ago, there was like a leaked logo and it was going to be called Scream with two exclamation points. But then if you look in the spaces between the exclamation points, it looked like a six. So it was almost like a blend of Scream 2 versus and Scream 6. Yeah. I wonder if that was real and they just...
Could have been fan-made.
They just... No, it felt... I feel like it came from somewhere legit. I wonder if they just changed it because it was stupid.
Mm. The Weinsteins have nothing to do with them.
Thank God.
The series anymore.
Well, I will say, though, that something doesn't sit right with my spirit when it opens without the dimension.
With logo. Paramount?
Yeah, I don't like it. Because Paramount, like, I'm such a horror
kid. Paramount's the godfather.
No, I was going to say, like, as a horror kid, I'm always like, Paramount is Jason.
Right.
Like, I just always associate that with Jason.
But for some reason, the trailer to this movie, there was a lot of
yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, there was. I did like that they did the thing in this one that they did in the first one, where in the beginning you heard the phone ringing and screaming.
Right.
At the same time. And then it, like, then the movie opens.
Right.
That first one is just so good.
Yeah. But you made a good point, which is like, when you've seen it so many times, it's...
Oh, I cannot enjoy... I cannot watch it anymore. Yeah. I think the only time I could... Because I know it so... I know it like by heart. So it's like not fun to watch anymore. Yeah. But I think that I might like it if I went to go see it in a theater.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a theater since it first came out. That might be a different viewing experience.
I've seen it in two drive-ins.
And how was that? Two separate
drive-ins. It's fun. Okay. I saw it once hosted by the We Hate Movies guys.
Oh, that's fun. You kind of see it through new eyes when you see it in a movie theater.
Yeah. I saw a double feature with the We Hate Movies guys. It was that and Nightmare on Elm... Friday the 13th. The really good one, six.
So it was
when he becomes a full blown zombie.
Was it We Love Movies?
Sort of, yeah. And that was COVID, so like people were like honking to applaud.
That's fun.
It was fun.
There's something about that time that I don't ever want to go back to because it was a horrible time. But like, I always think about like the election and like when like people like would go to like conventions and concerts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even rallies, like. On election night when like all the cars were in Delaware for Biden and they were just honking through his speech. Like, it's just such a moment in time that we'll probably never experience again.
Right.
And it's just, it's cool. I don't know. It's cool to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a pandemic in the world of Scream?
No, I was thinking about that. I guess not. Cause there would have been more people on the subway wearing masks.
Right.
I'm surprised that there was no like jokes like there were in Jason Takes Manhattan about like the fact that like New York has crime.
Yeah.
And it's like
there is that one part.
There was like the bodega, like, what the fuck's your problem, man? Kind
or,
of a thing.
Or also when Mindy is stabbed, there's just a girl like sleeping on the subway.
that's true.
I also
I was thinking, is this the first Scream that takes place on Halloween?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes, it is.
And with no reference to Halloween, the movie.
Right.
Which
but
is
it just allows you to have a lot of people wearing ghost faces.
Yeah, but shows how far we've come because the references to Halloween were so frequent in the early ones.
Right. Well, that's when Kevin Williamson was still involved.
Yeah.
Now he's nominally involved.
Yeah.
He's involved in fucking cashing the checks.
Yeah. God bless him. I wonder what he thinks of it. I wonder what Neve Campbell thinks of this one.
She probably don't give a fuck.
Do you think
she's watched them ever? Like, I think since one?
Do you think not? I don't know. I think it's interesting that she was willing to be in this one, but they wouldn't meet her pay demands, which I'm on her side for.
Yeah. I definitely pay her.
But, you know, it's interesting. I wonder, like, it's not like she was like, no, on principle, I'm not going to be in it. She was like, they couldn't, like, bitch better have my money, and they didn't have my money. So, like, now when she watches it, do you think she's like, oh, this is good? You think she's like, oh, fuck them, they didn't want to pay me enough? Like, what do you think? Who knows? Do you think she's at? I mean, I guess we can't know. They have that. There's that one line of like, Sydney deserves her happy ending, and tell Sydney that he didn't get me, and that's it.
Well, there was a lot of stuff recently about Ernie Hudson in the new Ghostbusters, and he was like, I'm not going to do it unless you give me something to do. And like, for a while, they were like, oh, maybe he's not in it. And then I think ironed it out, and he is going to be in it. But I think
new Ghostbusters? Yeah.
He stood up for himself, and he was like, I'm going to, if you want me to be in it, like, give me something to do.
He got such a raw deal.
He's been screwed a lot. You know what I mean? But he's probably, well, Dan Aykroyd always, but like, he's probably like the one who's going to be in the next one more than anyone. Because now he's the fucking Nick Fury. Now he's the one who is the boss and funds everything. Ghostbusters. All right. This has been PCMC. This was Scream 6. See you next year.
See you next year for Scream 7.
Scream 7, the search for more money. We end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.